Hi everyone, thanks very much for having me here today. I'm going to talk to you about the common language that we use at Cancer Research UK that having been developed for our external web is actually starting to be used in other places, some internal facing places like SharePoint and even in our IT help desk. And the idea is that they're not silos of taxonomy, but they actually all come from a single structure. So I'm Tom Alexander. I am the taxonomy manager at Cancer Research UK in the technology team. I had 10 years working at Getty Images as a sort of taxonomy developer. We had a collection of assets of sort of up to 22 million images at the time that I left. And then I did a couple of years stint at Debenhams working on the internal search product, and then for the last 8 years I've been at Cancer Research UK. So I'm just going to talk a little bit around, I'm sure you've heard of Cancer Research UK, but we'll just have an introduction, chat a little bit around our external web taxonomy, and then looking at our internal facing terms in SharePoint, some of the challenges we've had there, and a little bit around user testing and validation, and then very sort of quickly looking at what things we want to do in the future. So this is me with some of my cohorts. This is actually the spoke that I was working in for the first piece of content, or the first sort of tranche of content that went onto SharePoint. So this is probably 8 or 9 months ago. So SharePoint, we've started to adopt it as a place to sort of do a lot more stuff, and with increasing amounts of content going in, we needed a taxonomy. So this was the first sort of point that I was involved in doing a taxonomy for SharePoint. So at Cancer Research UK, we're a large charity. We have our head office just up the road at the Angel Building. We're actually moving out to East London by the end of the year, but at the moment we're quite close by. We have about 3,500 staff. There are 10,000 pages of content, and we had 160 million page views onto our website in the last year. So there's quite a lot to kind of deal with, and quite a lot of content, quite a lot of user need in terms of, you know, sort of having a taxonomy to allow us to manage that. In terms of our core activities as a charity, we're involved in science, research, statistics, and policy, just as a sort of a sample of the kinds of activities that we're involved in, all of which have, you know, content being produced for those areas and for which we need a common language. And all of our efforts are obviously to defeat cancer. Our external facing web taxonomy is a sort of top-down, you know, parent and child taxonomy, which is bespoke, so it's developed in-house, and the idea is that it can be used with lots of diverse content in the sort of aforementioned areas that we work in. So as an example, a tag that we have in our cancer type section could be used across, you know, these kind of various areas. So I've got some content types over on the right there, so a press release or a blog post, a clinical trial, or a page on some statistics. So that melanoma cancer type is the same tag is used across those different areas. So obviously we work to make sure there isn't a silo, so we're not using a different melanoma for press release as we might do for blog posts. So, you know, a proper single structure, a reusable taxonomy structure. I'm not going to go massively into kind of our external web taxonomy. The focus of this talk is more to kind of establish the fact that we have a web taxonomy that we've been developing for years, and then we're using the taxonomy structure as a single structure to then move into other areas of sort of content. So we're developing our internal facing taxonomy, and it's a lot of it is now living in SharePoint. And it's all coming from the same kind of place. So again, it's the same term used with diverse content. So as an example, we can take the same cancer type of melanoma, and in the internal sort of facing world of SharePoint, then that might be used on areas of content within, you know, our knowledge management or in our research hub, perhaps content around our supporter experience or maybe some insights, some analytics, you know, for the charity as a whole. So again, it's the same term. It's being used in this internal facing content. So one of the things that we're sort of trying to do, it's like managing a kind of conflict of interests. So with a single taxonomy structure, we want to make sure that we are always using the same term where relevant across any given bit of content. But we also need to make sure that because content is going into sections of SharePoint, so for those that kind of use SharePoint, you create these kind of spaces or areas, or, you know, it's like sections on perhaps on a website. And a challenge with doing that is that if you have a site section that specifically is around a certain area of content, so something like insights or something like supporter experience, with a shared taxonomy, it's fairly likely that you won't need every single term in your taxonomy to be used in that site section. So you've got almost a kind of square in the circle there. You want to reuse terms, but you don't want to drag every single term into SharePoint. And going a little bit into the kind of nuts and bolts of SharePoint, when you apply a taxonomy, you use columns and you add the taxonomy as a managed metadata field. And if you have a taxonomy term that has child terms, those child terms are pulled across. So you may only want to have the parent term, but actually you can't avoid having the child terms coming across as well. So there are some challenges there in SharePoint. So we're just going to look a little bit around how we try to kind of head those off and mitigate them. So we want our taxonomy to be shareable, but we also want it to be flexible. So using the terms that we're already using elsewhere, but not bringing absolutely every single term across. So in our taxonomy that we're using in SharePoint, one of our sort of categories of Cancer Research UK's taxonomy is called cancer subject. It seems like a sort of ineffably broad sort of subject category, but it's things to do with cancer that don't actually mention the cancer type, because the cancer type is a different category. So it's very, very broad. You can see there's a lot of child terms under cancer subject there. There's actually 869 terms in there. That's quite a lot. So if in SharePoint you had a site section around supporter experience, for example, it's fairly likely you won't want every single of those 869 terms. So you don't want to be bringing every single one of those terms across, but you do want to reuse the ones that are relevant to your section. In fact, in the work that we've been doing so far, one of our sections in SharePoint only needs 15 of those 869 terms. So the point there is, how do we kind of achieve being able to reuse the 15 terms that we want to take from the master structure, but without kind of dragging absolutely everything else across? So in SharePoint, we've been finding that the reuse term function is very helpful. So essentially, you create a new taxonomy in the back end. You can name it by the name of your site section. So that's a bit counterintuitive to me, because that's a little bit like making a silo. But the kind of critical difference is that you use the reuse function. So you're not creating terms afresh. You're actually reusing the terms that exist in the master list. So your overall Cancer Research UK taxonomy is just being sampled, as it were, reused into a section taxonomy. And we found this to be quite a handy thing. It means that we're able to present terms that are being used globally across not just SharePoint, but also terms that are used in our external web. But now we've brought it down from a potential 869 to 15 terms. And that's allowing us to kind of do that common language thing. It's Cancer Research UK's kind of common language, but only being used in a sort of targeted manner. It's not perfect when you're in SharePoint. As I said, it will drag parent terms across with the child terms as well, and that can be a bit of an issue. We've had to find some ways around that. So, for example, you might find that you you want a tag and you don't want to have the terms under it, so you have to create a new tag and then place the cherry-picked terms underneath, which means that you have duplicated your parent term. That's something that at the moment we haven't been able to avoid. But it does mean that we strengthen our kind of quest to make sure that we're using our terms. So having established that kind of internal facing taxonomy, we've also been developing our taxonomy again from our taxonomy base, our Council Research UK kind of global language. We've been using it in our IT help desk, our kind of service desk. So this is very new for me. This is using the taxonomy in a kind of brand new place. But the key learning from this is that we've taken a lot of value from doing lots of user testing and lots of sort of online validation. Our sort of service desk tool is a thing called ServiceNow. Currently, the outgoing version has a very unwieldy taxonomy. It's not very intuitive. The categories are not very well understood by users. So we've been refactoring the whole product, and the taxonomy has had a lot of attention. So what we've done is we've taken the existing terms, we've done some brainstorming sessions, and we've done some sort of card sorting with key users across the charity to get a straw man of the terms that we then go on to test. So having established our straw man of sort of revised terms, we've used an online validation tool called TreeJack. Very useful tool. So you set up some tasks where you ask the user, you would like to find a page on laptops. How do you find your page? And you allow them to click through the taxonomy structure in a kind of pathway. So what we found was that we did two lots of TreeJack validation exercises. So with the first session, this was using the terms that we had established within our kind of group, the people working on the spoke. And when we went through on that first kind of round of validation, 65% of the tasks kind of succeeded. So in other words, where the user goes in and using the pathway that they expect to find the page they're looking for, it matched with the pathway that page actually lived on in 65% of the cases. So then we took that away. We did some analysis of where people were kind of going off in different directions, and we made changes on the basis of that kind of evidence. We collaborated together. We were just using the evidence before us, and we refactored the taxonomy structure based on that, and we did a second round of TreeJack validation, and then 86% of tasks were then completed between what the users expected and the way that had been laid out in our sort of taxonomy structure. So it proved to us that test and learn, iteration and collaboration yield really, really good results. And it's strengthening our overall taxonomy because it builds into the overall single structure. So not only is it something that is our common language, it's a common language that's actually being validated by our user base. So it's something that we know people understand and are going to have predominantly success in using to find the content that they're looking for. When we'd reached that point, so with that kind of 14% left to do, we did some guerrilla testing around the office just to kind of capture the last few terms that were a bit kind of difficult and people weren't quite finding what they were looking for. And again, that was really good kind of collaboration, and it was really good sort of being able to go out there and understand what your audience wants to sort of tell you. The big difference here, obviously, this is an internal facing system, you know, our IT help desk. So you've actually got your captive audience. You know, if it was external, you'd be looking in perhaps analytics package to understand what the external users are doing. So from that work, our taxonomy is now kind of sorted. It's kind of put into the categories that people expect to see it. It's really good to have that in our internal facing taxonomy. It's strengthening our overall common language, and it means that in more cases than before, people are finding what they're looking for. Our SharePoint work is kind of ongoing. Our IT help desk product is kind of other technical stuff is being developed with it, but we're confident we now have a taxonomy that's really fit for purpose there. People will be able to approach the product and actually get to the page that they want to. And so in the overall kind of picture, our Accounts Research UK taxonomy now kind of feeds across these areas, and that's really good to have that not as separate silos, but as a single structure that allows us to manage our overall Accounts Research UK corporate language. And looking forward, we're starting to do a little bit of work on an ontology. So using our taxonomy as a kind of basis, we've been starting to look for some products that might help us to create a proper ontology. So there's a product called Protégé that we're starting to look at. This is going to be a big project, but having a nice solid taxonomy that is used for internal and external content is a great place to kind of start doing some proofs of concepts and understanding how we can kind of take a parent and child taxonomy out into an ontology where we sort of define relationships and having that kind of greater level of detail. So that's a very exciting development. And I hope to be able to tell you more about that perhaps in future when more of that work is kind of moved forward. And that's me.
Can you tell us your taxonomy or a bit so that we can see what sort of thing you're talking about?
I certainly can. Is this machine online or shall
I? It is, yes. Yeah, I was very interested in what you were saying while we're waiting for this to come up.
So I have a question while you're doing that. It's something of a holy grail to have the idea of a single resource that you look for, and certainly in my time as an information management consultant, it's a problem that we've come across time and again, that you develop a vocabulary that you want to apply to a number of different systems, but they generally don't talk to one another or to a core system. How did you approach that?
So we don't have our taxonomy held in a central place. So we do have a single language, but I actually have to maintain things in separate places. So I actually have to manually synchronize things. So we're on the path. So the thing I mentioned about the ontology and potentially using Protégé, that's where that would kind of be the central hub. So yes, we're kind of doing the taxonomy sort of synchronization in a manual way. It's quite a difficult thing because inevitably looking after things manually is going to kind of introduce a couple of sort of issues around making sure the synchronization is absolutely watertight. I think we've been developing our website in a sort of an agile environment, so essentially spokes will kind of spring up and people will start working on sections, and sometimes development can happen in a new version of the CMS, and therefore you don't always have the time to synchronize the taxonomy in one with the other in an automated fashion. It is something that I'm kind of pushing for us to do, but essentially I have to make sure that that's all kind of done manually.
Yes, so you were going to show us some
examples. Sure. So this is our cancer news search. So topic is what I described beforehand as cancer subject. Here are the kind of topics that are associated with this content. So these sort of facets on the left-hand navigation are dynamically generated. So if you were to click on one, then if you make a further selection, then you're only presented with the terms that are relevant to the result set that you've got there, which is in contrast to SharePoint. So the filter function on SharePoint, for those that have used it, actually takes a copy of every single term in your taxonomy and displays it, which is a bit of a frustration because it means that you can end up with, if your content doesn't cover the whole breadth or range of your overall taxonomy, it means that you can click on things and they will come back with a zero result. But the way this is factored here is that there should be nothing here that has a zero result because it's dynamically kind of geared to the result set.
So it seems that you're showing us the taxonomy being used in browse mode, for navigation, basically.
Yeah.
And some taxonomies are used only for browsing and navigation, and some are used in searching.
Yeah.
I mean, are you? Does it also power the search? I mean, does it have synonym control so that when you search?
So, we've had some development going off at slightly different speeds. So if you look on this page here, there's a box called keyword. So the taxonomy does power this search. So if you were to do anal cancer, so you've come back with, it said two before, and now it's come back with eight, but that's because the search engine also looks into other meta fields. So it doesn't exclusively use the taxonomy to return results. But the taxonomy does power this search. So this search is Apache Solr, and that exclusively goes into this site section. This search box up here is Elasticsearch. So if you do the same search up there, this goes into a global search across the entire website. But this isn't tied into the taxonomy. So this uses the other meta fields, like the document title and the body copy. There's a little bit of kind of differing sort of speeds at which things are being developed there. Tiny bit of a frustration for me. I used to look after internal search as well. I haven't done it in about 3 years. A product owner came in and kind of started to look after that. So it's probably something we should focus on a little bit to kind of synchronize things a bit. But basically, in answer to your question, there is a search box that does use a taxonomy and there is one that currently doesn't. In terms of synonyms, there is a synonym file for both of these search experiences. So the Apache Solr one just uses a very simple kind of text list where it's just comma separated and everything on the line comes back with the same result. The synonym list on this one here, I think, works in a similar way. But my experience of working with synonyms when I was at Getty Images, I personally think the synonyms work better if they're attached to keyword level rather than an overall search, but that's just kind of my preference for it.
Yeah, because you talked quite a bit about the number of turns, 869 turns.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure whether you were meaning 869 separate concepts. Each concept could have several synonyms attached to it.
Yeah.
Or whether, you know, well, it just must appear to me
how
you were handling that.
That's 869 separate concepts.
Yeah.
So,
and each one might have several different synonyms attached to it.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, so they do have synonyms attached to them.
Okay. I was intrigued by you talking in general about using the same taxonomy for the IT help desk.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking to myself, hang on. What your users want when they look in an IT help desk is probably different from what they want when they're looking in a disease.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So the crossover there is mainly between the IT help desk taxonomy and the taxonomy we're using in our internal facing. It's more in our sort of knowledge management. So within our knowledge management, there's content in SharePoint for that. It's things like kind of software and laptops where we're sharing the terms. But when it comes to things like cancer types, that's not
shared. Doesn't come up in the
in the help desk.
Can I have a supplementary?
Yeah.
When you restructured things because of the TreeJack work, did you reflect that sort of substructure back into the main taxonomy?
We will do where relevant. So things like software and hardware and things like that, which is kind of a relevant thing to some of the knowledge management content that we've got in SharePoint. So we won't take it wholesale. We will test it, but it's a place where we've done some testing, and we can see that there's a kind of logic to it. I understand the point that you make about the different use base and the sort of different scenario that is. We will take learnings from it, but we're not just going to kind of just slavishly copy it across.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we've got time for one more quick question and then I think
we're
going to have a break. So, yes, Nikki.
I was just wondering about the taxonomy in SharePoint. Does the limitations of SharePoint influence how you construct your taxonomy? So, for instance, do you not go down as many levels as possibly as you might want?
Yes, in short, it does. Just this week, I discovered that when you're in SharePoint, there appears to be a limit to the number of columns that you can use before it gives you an error message. I don't know if anyone else has had an experience of that, but we were putting together some content. I think we had 13 columns, and we hit the 14th, and it killed it. And in sort of collaboration with the SharePoint administrator, he found out that it was because there were too many columns. So I've had to go back to our business owner, kind of the content owner, and say to them, we're going to have to think about either prioritising how many levels of or sort of categories of taxonomy that we can use, or we may have to bunch some of those terms up into like a high category. So cat's a subject, you know, it's quite a broad sounding thing. We may just have to put some things directly underneath there, and so we reduce the number of columns that would be needed. But yes, you don't want it to, but there are always, inevitably, you'll hit limitations like that, and so therefore we are going to have to respond to it. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.